You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We continue on the story of a pandemic in the country and how this is affecting businesses, big and small. One of the changes that we've seen over the past 15 months of undergoing the MCO of One Shape or Kind is on the rise of contactless payments, a seamless way of doing things, particularly when it comes to connecting businesses with consumers, the B2C kind of model, as well as how businesses communicate with one another. Here to describe this a little bit more in depth is the company behind Zilnex, which is Webbytes Sendirian Berhad. Joining us is Ui Boon Cheng, the CEO of Webbytes Sendirian Berhad and their product Zilnex. Boon Cheng, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. Let's go through one by one first about Webbytes, the company itself, and then later on the product.
Sure. Thanks, Ibrahim, for having me here this morning.
Right. About Webbytes, let's start with the story. What are you guys all about? When did you guys establish yourself? And what was the first few products that you're rolling out to the market?
We started about 12 to 13 years back. You know, we are actually the pioneer in cloud-based point of sales, which means that we were the initial one that actually comes in to do subscription model so that retailers, you know, be able to compete with the biggest boys without that much of capital, because they doesn't need to actually invest, but they just subscribe and start using enterprise-level solution to manage their F&Bs or manage their retail link business. So that's how we started about 12, 13 years ago.
But okay, so this is the story when it comes a little bit more interesting, because you guys are behind the cloud-based retail point-of-sale solution. And a lot of companies are using it, household names actually, Tea Leaf, Mary Brown, Texas Chicken, Taco Bell, La Juicera. These are, just by naming the 5-6 brands, I'm already using 3 or 4 of them the past week. So I'm sure the turnover or the utility of such a product is going to be very high, at least before the pandemic. I don't know how things are now. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Definitely on our side, we are, the usage of our POS system, it has been conventionally brick and mortar businesses, which means that people actually use this as point of sales. A lot of businesses are looking at it as just a cash tail and how they manage their operation. And of course, the pandemic has actually changed how businesses look into the whole business, which means that they cannot actually just look at the point of sale itself as a cash tail. It has to do a lot more than that. It has to have the ability to engage their customers. The system will have the ability to actually taking order online, to have the ability to let them understand more of their customers. So the shift during the pandemic is very, very interesting on the whole industry for us.
So, okay, when you say interesting, describe to us, what do you mean by that?
The thing here is that you realize that, you know, retailing and F&B business has always been talking about location, all right? Everyone that tells you about if I'm operating a retail business or I'm operating an F&B business, the key point is location. But during the pandemic, location no longer be the major factors in getting businesses in staying afloat. The main things about during the pandemic is how they can absorb and how they can actually change their business model to continue to re-engage their customers, to make their customer to be able to buy conveniently and confidently without having to be physically in their stores. And that ability to re-engage their customers is the part that requires a lot of technical know-how, not just from the technical part, but from marketing as well. From the whole digitalization process will come in and take place to see how we can actually encompass the whole ecosystem to enable them to reconnect with their clients in this time of pandemic.
Okay, the thing about this is that the rise of e-wallets have also been booming since the pandemic started. GrabPay, Touch & Go, e-wallet and Boost, they are trying to compete neck and neck with the credit card companies, the banks that are offering debit cards. Basically, online payments have never been made easier, but at the same time, it's a lot right now. It's too much. Sometimes, you know, when I do buy a Starbucks, it's crazy to see the kind of payment solutions that they have, you know, at the cafeteria at my workplace. But how does that compete with the product that you are pushing forward, which is Zilnex?
We are slightly different because we don't consider ourselves. In fact, we are the facilitator. All right. So on our side, doesn't really matter which payment, which e-wallet you're coming from. It's just like, you know, when we are operating a brick and mortar POS, right? We don't care whether you are running a Visa or Master, right? As long as you bring a card that can actually swap, it works. On our side, it's basically how we facilitate that solutions. So whether it is GrabPay, Boost and stuff, we actually try to support as much as possible so that we give that option back to consumer.
Okay, so then the big question is on skipping the POS stage when it comes to making payments, i.e. scanning QR codes or something like that. Is that a concern or a risk for your business?
No, it's in fact what we are doing now, all right? So I do always tell our team that, you know, yes, with the new age of solution, it might be looking in a way that is cannibalizing our own business product, right? But if you don't do that, other people will actually do it, right? So on our side, what we do is that we are coming up with the concept of POS list, which means that we are trying to empower retail and SMB to operate without a physical POS at all. What they need to do is just mobile devices, and they will be able to take order, whether it's online, in-store, pre-order, and to handle the whole thing back order back to their kitchen.
Let's talk about post-pandemic. A lot of us are taking the vaccines as we speak. I'm due for a vaccine this Monday. I'm so looking forward to that, honestly. But at the rate we're going, we're looking at either at earliest late this year, maybe early next year, when most of us have been vaccinated and we return back to our daily lives, hopefully. And of course, while we return to our daily lives, businesses tend to come back and be stronger slowly. Does that mean that in a post-pandemic world, we're going to see the return of brick and mortar businesses, the return of location, the return of people utilizing POS extensively at these retail outlets?
Definitely, once the pandemic return, people will actually be going back out to their social life. That is actually what we are hoping for all of us. But from the business perspective, the pandemic has actually educated them that they cannot rely on just physical location itself. A lot of businesses, they used to have membership system and stuff, but they do not actually look into the data that they have. And admits during this pandemic, then only they realize that, you know, with the customer data that they have, they can do a lot of mining, retargeting and stuff. So they know that data is the new oil. The data is the way forward. So we do see that, you know, after this pandemic thing, we do see that a lot of business will realize that they will have to start doing it, you know, whether if I have a best location, I have the best queue in the neighborhood, people are queuing up for my product. But the thing here is that you still need to know who is your customers. You still need to understand them. You still need to know why they are buying from you and who are they, what are the spending rate like, what is the average spending, how is the return rate. So this data become very, very important even after post-pandemic.
All right. We'll go for a short break before we continue our conversation with Boon Cheng of WebBytes Sinan Bahad. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. I have with me Ui Boon Cheng, the CEO of WebBytes Sinan Bahad. Boon Cheng, before we went into the break just now, you were talking about data being the new oil. A lot of businesses know this. A lot of businesses are aware of the potential it brings. However, when it comes to retailers, they might not know the kind of items that might be useful for them. In other words, they might be facing data paralysis and be inundated by the amount of information that came about, right? Particularly when you look at the shops that they have, the time of the day that people buy it, and then perhaps some demography of their customers, it becomes too much for them to understand what's going on. Do you have the capacity or capability to add value to your customers in order for them to make sense of the businesses that they are running right now?
That is exactly where we are coming in from. The whole process that we are trying to do for our customer, the keyword is segmentization, all right? Is how we actually help them to segmentize their stores so that they can actually know what is the best performing store, what is the not performing store, and what are the factors. This segmentation goes the same to their client as well, which means that we segmentize their customers to champion customers, which means that customers that is, you know, is their top fans, they are always coming back, this combined shop people is the one that is the highest frequencies of return rate, you know. Then we also started categorize segmentations to segmentize their customers that is probably potential champion customers. And of course, the most important one is the losing part, which means that we segmentize that this group of customer no longer come back for the next for the past 6 months, and they need to do something, all right? So once we actually able to segmentize this, retailers will very easily, they will able to visualize, you know, to look at what I need to do with each of these segmentized station group.
Right. Let's take a look into some of the recent news right now. We've seen reports that the government wants to migrate 80% of data to cloud by the end of next year. We've also seen how WebBytes Nambahat has been selected along with two or three other companies trying to make this a reality. Where do you guys stand in terms of the progress of this?
On our side, we are a fully cloud-based point of sales, which means that 100% of our clients are fully on the cloud already from day one. And we are very proud to that we were the one that actually talked to enterprises and educate them and telling them that why do you need to move to the cloud? What are the benefits that you see? And, you know, 5-6 years back, they were probably coming back with a lot of security concerns and stuff. And we actually managed to come up with SOPs, policies that are able to go through a lot of businesses audit to tell them that going to the cloud is the way forward.
Okay, so Microsoft has been selected as the government's cloud service provider. We've seen the news. And we also have read news that Microsoft is partnering with Sensoft, Silver Lake, as well as you guys in trying to deliver this. Do you think that you guys have what it takes in terms of delivering the solutions that is required?
Definitely, because from what we look at this is that the whole ecosystem requires not just from the private level pushing, you know, we can't actually do it alone. With the ability of adding on giants like Microsoft, as well as the commitment from the government, we do see that the initiative will actually be able to materialize. And we do have very strong confidence that when these three parties, our SMEs, big giants, and as well as the governments, things can really move forward with the kind of arrangement.
Okay, 5 years ago in 2016, Teak Ventures, Sinan Bahad, Teak Ventures, of course, is behind a lot of successful venture building companies, have partnered with GDX or GD Express to buy a part of WebBytes Nambahat for 5.5 million ringgit. How has that, financial injection work out for you guys?
Definitely a very good pump in and trust from our investors. And of course, on our side, that actually gives us a certain level of confidence that we are actually moving on a very correct and strong path. And of course, being a subscription business ourselves, which means that we don't actually charge customer upfront, having a strong capital to back us, to back the whole business, actually plays a very important role for us to go through this.
Let's talk a little bit more about diversifying your market operation. We know that you are trying to penetrate Vietnam and other areas as well. What are your plans for building the business regionally?
The interesting part is that even in Southeast Asia, we say that we are in Southeast Asia, we are in one family, but are having to actually have experience is more in most of these Southeast Asia countries. I would say that every country actually have their own different way of doing it. So there's no blanket answer from our side, but what we do here is that we have different technique and different strategy in different countries. For example, in Cambodia, we are going in our own. In other countries, Jakarta, Singapore, we are going through partners, as well as in Vietnam, we are going through JV model, all right? And so far, it has been delivering very good result, and we do see that it will continue to grow after the pandemic when we are able to fly and do more together after this.
All right. Final word, what do you think is going to happen in terms of the retail business of the country? And perhaps how they manage their point of sale versus how they manage their data. What are your final thoughts on this?
I believe the main point now is that they need to really re-strategize, like we mentioned earlier. Location, promotion no longer be the best factors that they actually have to win in this game. All right. So what they need to do is that they have to think beyond that. They have to really start into looking into understanding their customers. So at this time of at this point of time, when the market is very slow, the best opportunity for businesses is to relook into their long-term strategy, is to relook into how they can digitalization, how their whole process works, and how they can actually come back once the post pandemic environment become more favorable to us.
Thank you very much. That was Ui Boon Sheng, the CEO of WebBytes, Sinan Bahad. If you've missed any part of this show, just head on to astroawani.com and phone Notepad over there. Till then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.